and the stain has gone. Luke chapter number 16. I'm glad that God is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him. And He saves from sin. And it doesn't matter what your sin is. He can save you from it. Amen. Deliver you. Set you free. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Luke chapter 16, I want you to find your place, verse number 19 through verse number 31. Luke chapter 16, spent most of the time on the phone yesterday on our trip home, about 9 hours, I guess, total, driving, maybe even 10 to get home last night. Got in about 11, well, I guess maybe it was around 10, 30, 11, something like that we got in. Spent most of the time yesterday on the phone while we traveled calling preachers and about the money for the land and asked them to pray with us and also to give if God would get their heart to do so. Didn't know exactly what I'd preach this morning. God had given me a message earlier in the week for the service tonight. But I guess about the last 2 hours home, the Lord directed my heart to this passage in Luke chapter 16. And so I want to preach on it this morning. Luke 16, verse number 19. Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I want you to look with me at 4 verses. Verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. Verse number 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Verse number 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And then one more time, verse number 28, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. If you'll notice 4 times in this passage, you have the word torment, or some form of the word torment. Tormented, torments. In this passage, Jesus tells about 2 men that died. One of the men is named Lazarus. He was a beggar. He was laid daily at the gate of a certain rich man who is not named. This beggar dies, and the Bible said that he was carried by the angels to be comforted in Abraham's bosom, the paradise of God. He said it came to pass that the rich man also died, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. He calls hell this place of torment. And four times in the passage, he makes reference to torment or being tormented. And with that thought in mind, I want to preach this morning on the thought of the torments of hell. The torments of hell. Hell is a place of torment. Hell is a place where all who go there are being tormented. This word torment, it means to be in intense anguish. Not just anguish, but intense anguish. Agony. Intense pain or torture. You hear a lot of talk in the news media today about the closing of Guantanamo Bay and many terrorists that were held there. President Obama has already turned them loose. And they want to close it down. It's a place of torture, really. It's a place where they use physical torture to get information from murderers and criminals whose consciences have been seared and would just as soon cut the throat of every American citizen as to look at them. And so, it's a place of torture. But it's nothing like hell, Harry. It's nothing like hell. Hell is a place of torment. A place of intense agony, intense pain and anguish, where lost souls are literally being tortured. There's three ways that a man can be tortured. Three ways that a man can be tormented. He can be tormented physically. He can be tormented mentally. And he can be tormented emotionally. And I want to show you that all three of them exist in hell. Hell is a place of torment. Number one, physical torment. That's what we most of all think about when we think about those being tormented in hell. And we see that in verse number 24. The Bible said that this rich man cried. And I believe that this cry is that cry where the Bible said they're weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth. I don't think we read that and get the right comprehension of how he cried. This is not just a raised voice cry. This is a wailing. Father Abraham, have mercy on me. That's how he cried. I am tormented. They're weeping, wailing, and gnashing teeth. No calmness here, friend. A screeching, screaming cry. Why? He's tormented. I am tormented in this flame. Not, it's hot here. Not, I'm burning. I am tormented. I'm being tormented in this flame. It's a flame of fire tormenting. Hell is a place where souls are physically tormented by fire. Somebody said, well, how could it be physical torment to a soul? The body is extinguished. Spirits can be tormented by fire. I don't understand it. But spirits can be tormented by fire. The Bible said in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse number 10, and the devil, he's a spirit being, he doesn't have a physical body. The devil that deceived them is cast into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented. The devil doesn't have a physical body. He's a spirit. Angels are spirits. But there's something about fire that will physically torment spirits or souls. You remember when God in the Old Testament told the children of Israel that when they went into the land of Canaan, that there were certain things that were to be totally destroyed. And He said only the silver, the gold that could pass through the fire could be kept. Their idols, their images were made of pure silver, made of pure gold. A lot of monetary value in them. But God said, don't you keep anything unless it can pass through the fire. There's a reason for that. Demonic spirits attach themselves to objects. They attach themselves to idols. You could have an idol in your home of some sort and a demonic spirit, because they desire to be worshipped. The things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice not unto God but unto devils. Every idol has a demonic spirit attached to it somehow, some way. And God told them those idols, though they be worth millions of dollars and be solid gold, or the silver be worth millions of dollars and be solid silver, don't you let anything abide that does not pass through the fire. The fire could drive out, put it in a fire, the gold, melt it down. If there was a demonic spirit somehow attached, the fire would torment the demonic spirit and make him have to go. And so what I'm saying is, the fire, though your body may be laying in a grave and you got a soul, you got a spirit, fire, somehow God made fire to be able to torment the souls, the spirits of men. And hell is a place of physical torment. It's a place, as I've already alluded to, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing. You've never heard screaming like is going on in hell. You've never heard weeping and wailing and screaming and gnashing. I'm telling you, hell is a madhouse, friend, where multitudes of millions of beings who through the ages have died and gone down to hell like this rich man are crying, weeping, wailing, gnashing their teeth because they're being tormented by the flame. In Isaiah chapter 33, who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He said that it's better to pluck out your eye than to go into hell fire, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Better to cut off your hand, cut off your foot, than having two hands or two feet, and to be cast into hell fire, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. You who are troubled, He said, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Revelation chapter number 14, verse number 9, verse number 10. The same shall be tormented with fire and with brimstone, in the presence of the Lamb, and in the presence of the holy angels. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. And whoso was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. And He said in Revelation 21:8, He said that the unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. I heard a great message Friday night in the missions conference as the preacher preached on the subject of hell and volcanic eruptions. And he told about how that the volcanic lava, and he gave illustrations and eruptions of renown, and how the lava would flow through the city and the people. Their flesh literally just melted off as they stood in place, and the lava covered them. I'm telling you, hell, the lake of fire, it's a lake of fire and brimstone. That's exactly what is in the heart of this earth. And every time a volcano erupts, it's a bump out of hell, friend. Just reminding men, there's a place of torment down there where those who are lost are going to weep and wail and gnash their teeth forever and ever and ever and ever. Torment. Intense anguish and pain and torture that causes those like this rich man to cry, "Have mercy!" Sometime several months ago back, I guess maybe close to a year now, I began to experience something that I had not previously experienced in my back. And those that know me for a long time, I've had problems in my back that would cause me to be bedridden at times, and the pain I thought was great. And there'd be sometimes days I couldn't even walk, couldn't even get up out of bed because of the pain in my back. But about maybe a year ago, something began to happen in my back that I had not previously experienced before. It was not the disc problem. I have a herniated disc in my back, but this was not that disc problem. And all of a sudden, I mean, out of nowhere, the first time it happened, it just was such an intense pain in my lower back. And I did not know what was going on, but it felt as if someone took about a 12-inch dagger and just all of a sudden walked up behind me and stuck it in my back. And then as if it had an electrical high shock just shocking me. I scared Sister Van Giller and the children to death. And I've got a high pain tolerance. But it literally scared them to death. I literally was screaming at the top of my lungs, uncontrollably. It was torment. And that thing would be just as if that dagger was in my back and just a high voltage shocking me. And I literally was begging God, "Have mercy." It was as if a lightning was flashing in my head. And I know I couldn't have taken much more. I'd have been unconscious. It was intense pain. And I remember several times just when it would hit me, just I'd be scared to death that this thing would come on me and hit me. It was such a painful thing. I believe it was some nerve. Had to do with some nerves. I got on some magnesium, and it has greatly taken it away. I've not had one of those encounters since I've been on the magnesium like I've been on it. But nevertheless, it was torment for it. I mean, torment. And I think in my mind, it had me to the place so I could feel it start to come on me, and I'd literally almost panic. "Oh God, please don't let that thing hit me." But I'm telling you, in hell, it is a constant torment and torturous pain beyond anything that any human being has ever experienced. And it's not here for a minute. It's not here for 2 minutes, or I guess probably the longest it lasts was maybe 2 minutes or whatever. John literally, on one occasion, as I began to scream, was literally holding me up. And all I could do was scream. But thank God it would be gone. Maybe 2 minutes, maybe at the max. I know it seemed like a lot longer than that. But I'm telling you, there is a pain in hell. You talk about torment. You talk about torture. We're not talking about something that lasts for 30 seconds or a minute and then is gone and there's relief and maybe come back periodically. But we are talking about day and night. There is no rest. You could never rest with that kind of pain, with that kind of torture, with that kind of torment going on. But I'm telling you, it is nothing compared to the torment physically of the souls of men. I'm telling you, if you've ever experienced fire, if you've ever been burnt, you know it is a painful experience. I could not imagine any greater pain than the pain of fire. And dear friend, that is what is going on in hell day and night. Intense agony, pain, and torture. So that they are weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth. You better think twice about getting saved, friend. Matter of fact, you better not stop thinking about getting saved. You better let this message sink in. And you that are not saved this morning better realize hell's a place of torment. Not only physical torment, but mental torment. Verse 25, the Bible said, "But Abraham said, Son," he's crying for just one drop of water to cool, just one drop of water to cool his tongue. "But Abraham said, Son, remember." The word "remember" there has to do with the memory. Particularly, it has to do with the mind. It has to do with our thoughts. It has to do with the mental aspect of man. Here's this man. He said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented." Here, this rich man was tormented mentally. Two things. Number one, he is tormented mentally as he can remember the past. As he remembers back in the past, it's tormenting. And then number two, in verse 26, he is not only tormented by what he can remember in the past, his past comfort on earth. He said, "Son, remember how good you had it on earth. Remember all the comforts and all that God had blessed you with while you was on earth." And I'm telling you, as he could remember back to all that comfort, it tormented him in his mind. He's also tormented as he was reminded about his future as well. In verse number 26, he said, "Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." He reminds him of the past comforts of this life, and that added to the man's torment. As he thought about all the comfort as a rich man and the luxury that he had, but now it's all gone. But he was also tormented mentally as he was reminded about his future. You are in a place where there is a great gulf that is fixed. That word "fixed" means a permanent state that cannot, that will not ever change. And what he's doing is saying, "Son, remember, you're in a place that is fixed forever. So that those over there where you are that would come over here now, that would come to Abraham's bosom now, that would enjoy paradise now, cannot. Will not ever be able to do so." And I'm telling you, friend, he was tormented mentally. You know, mental torment can be worse than physical. Did you know a lot of people commit suicide? We don't realize, but a lot of people, because of physical pain, will commit suicide. The pain is just so unbearable that they say, "I can't take this anymore. It's tormenting me. I'd rather die." And a lot of people will commit suicide and take their life every year because of physical pain. But more people will commit suicide and take their life because of mental torment than ever dreamed of in physical torment. They are experiencing a mental torment of their mind that causes them to say, I don't want out of it. I don't want to think about this anymore. I want out." And they'll take their life and they'll commit suicide. And I'm telling you, there is a mental torment that can be worse than physical. And there is a mental torment of those in hell that tortures them and gnaws on them and torments them and will do so throughout eternity. Look at it in the same respect of this rich man. Number one, those in hell, you die and go to hell, you will be tormented as you remember the past. God's been good to every one of us here this morning. Amen. You know, some people, they talk about, you know, life being so bad that they're living in hell now. Oh, no. You're living in your heaven now. I don't care how bad your life is on this earth. I don't care what part of the world you go to. In some places, they suffer greatly. Their living conditions are deplorable. But I'm telling you, it's their heaven, friend, if they die and go to hell. I believe the better God's been to us, like those who die and go to hell in America, we'll look back and think about all the good things that God blessed you with and the life that you enjoyed here on this earth and how good God was to you. But now you're in a place where you are being tormented and your memory of the past life on this earth will torment you more. But then there's no doubt this beggar was saved, laid at the rich man's gate. You can believe what you want to believe, but I believe he did witness to the rich man. Why would the rich man request for Lazarus to go and testify to his brethren? He had testified to him. And he said, would you have him go tell my brothers what he told me? But the man wouldn't get saved. Here's Lazarus. Maybe he mocked and scorned. Oh, you're a beggar. Look at you. I'm much better. I don't need your God. I'm fine. And I'm going to tell you, he could remember every day he passed by Lazarus. And every time Lazarus ever spoke to him about God, every time he ever went perhaps down to the temple or to the synagogue, and every message from every prophet that he ever heard heralding, every verse of Scripture, he can remember it. He can remember every time God ever dealt with his heart about being saved. I'll tell you, missed opportunities. You can think about in the past, if you've ever had a missed opportunity, those things back I can think about years ago was missed opportunities for me. Boy, those things still gnaw on me. Because one decision could have changed things. I'm telling you, that thing could just gnaw on you and it'll torment you. And you think about being in hell and you remember back the times you sat in church and the opportunities God gave you, but you said no. And I'm going to tell you, in hell, one thing that is tormenting those in hell and will torment you will even be this service that you sit in where God's speaking to you one more time. One more time. And going to give you another opportunity to quit your fooling around and playing games and to get saved one more time. And if you walk out of here lost this morning, I assure you, in hell, you'll remember and it will gnaw on you and torment you. Why? Oh God, why didn't I move that morning? Why did I walk out lost? Why did I reject Christ again? Why did I hold on to my sin when I could have gotten saved? It'll torment you, friend. And you'll also be tormented not only about what you can remember in the past, but as every day you're reminding, the gulf is fixed. Men have served long terms in prison. Some men have served 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. That's a long time, friend. But I'm going to tell you something. A man that may be sentenced to 50 years of his life in prison has one consolation. As day by day, he can mark off another day on the calendar and say, there's coming a day I will get out. But I'm telling you, friend, one of the torments of hell, you mark days off a calendar all you want, but in your mind, you're going to be reminded, a million years from now, I'll still be in this place. There is no hope of ever getting out. The gulf is fixed forever and ever and ever and ever. And you'll be tormented by it day by day. Number three, lastly, is emotional torment. Verse 27. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Now remember that phrase. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. I want you to notice, we see him expressing great concern about five lost brothers. I don't know how long he's been in hell, but he ain't forgot his family. And he is expressing concern for these five brothers. In other words, this is what I want you to see. Emotionally, he still has what we call a filial love. A love for his family. You know, a lot of loves can come and go. A lot of loves can die. But love for family just don't die. Oh, you may get mad at them. And they may hurt you. But many waters can't quench love for family. You may not even speak for a long time. But there's a love there that will never die. You may get so angry you almost feel like you hate them. But yet, buried underneath, there's still a love. And I'm going to tell you something. Not only can many waters not quench that, fire can't even quench it. Even fire of hell. Here's a man dead in hell, but he still got that filial love for his family. He can still think about brothers that he grew up with. He can still think about the times they played as boys. He can still remember his father's house and family members there. And he is being tormented emotionally as he thinks about those brothers. And he's being tormented over the thought that they're going to too come to that same place. He knew they weren't saved. He knew that his brothers weren't lost. I'm sure a lot of the wickedness that he committed with them. Well, nobody knows a brother like a brother, ain't that right? He knew it. And yet, he's tormented over this thought. They're going to come to this same place and be tormented. Their presence there would bring him no comfort. None. I mean, we get in a situation now where we are hurting or sad or whatever the case. We want those that we love around us. You get in the hospital, you want your family to come. You want them there with you. You go through a time of hurting, your family, those that you love, you want them there. But this man said, I do not want my brothers to come here. He knew that their presence there would provide him no comfort, but only torment him, as he knew that they were experiencing the same agony, the same pain, the same flames, the same torment that he was experiencing. I want you to think of the torment that somebody in hell, if you die and go to hell, not only physical, not only mental, but I'm telling you there's going to be we've all got family, amen. And if you die and go to hell, you say, well, maybe, you know, Lisa got family. We'll be there. Oh, my friend, you'll wish to God they wasn't there. Whether it's a lost mama, a lost daddy, a lost brother, a lost sister, a lost husband, a lost wife, their presence there will provide no comfort for you. It will only add to your torment. You'll still possess that love. And perhaps if somehow you could distinguish their voice, if you could, you're in outer darkness now, friend. You're not down there holding hands and hugging one another with your lost family. But if somehow you could hear a voice and recognize the scream of a family member and hear them agonizing, it will only torment you emotionally more. I want you to think about a father or a mother who dies and goes to hell. And they know they've got sons and daughters that are lost. And they know that they're largely responsible. Leading them, perhaps even in the paths of sin. Fathers that taught sons to drink and cuss and fornicate and look at pornography and lie and steal. Now got to face eternity with the reality. My son's coming to this place too. And I led him here. A husband that should be a protector and a defender of a wife and children to protect them from all harm dies and goes to hell, having lived a life of a drunkard and a vile, profane pervert, perhaps. Never took his family to church. Never read a Bible with them. Never tried to do anything to secure the salvation of his children or his spouse. And now he's in hell. And he's got to face the reality because of his example and his failure and his not leading them in a way that would lead them to salvation. Now they're going to come to this place. And it's because of his failure and his example. I'm going to tell you something, Daddy. It's time to quit playing games, amen. There's more at stake than just your soul here this morning. You got a son, you got a daughter, you got a spouse. Oh, it's not just you going to go to hell. You're probably going to lead them there too unless something drastically changes and you get genuinely converted and the Spirit of God gets in your heart and makes a difference in you to be able to lead that family. I'm telling you, you take a man that is a man, usually that wife's going to follow and those children will seek and pursue. I know there's discrepancies and I know there's cases where that's not so, but I'm telling you, there's no power, there's no influence on a wife or a child like that of a father. Amen. But here's a daddy in hell. Oh God, mama's coming too. The children's going to be here too. That dear precious spouse, as you hear her scream, perhaps you distinguish her scream. It's going to torment you. That son or that daughter, oh God, why? If I could do it all over again, it'd be different, God. I'd get serious about this thing. And things would be different, but it's too late. You'll be tormented not only as you think about those family that's going to be there with you, but I'm going to tell you, you'll be tormented emotionally as you think about the family that's not there with you. You notice he said, go to my father's house. I've got five brethren. I don't think he was married. I think he was still a relatively young man. We find that he says, go to my father. I've got five brothers. I believe literally this five brothers were still at home. He perhaps was too. He doesn't make any mention of a wife. Doesn't make any mention of a children. He does make mention of his father, his father's house, these five brethren. You think he had any sisters? You think they were just six boys? It's possible, but very unlikely. Very unlikely they didn't have any sisters. Very unlikely it was just six boys. He did not care about his sisters. If he had sisters, they evidently were saved. They evidently had gotten saved. Why didn't he say anything about warn daddy? Why didn't he say anything about warn mama? These boys are at his father's house, and it seems that his father's still living. It seems that no doubt these boys are still young enough to be at home. They're not married yet. But he doesn't say warn daddy. He doesn't say warn mama. Very likely mom and daddy were saved. Very likely they were some sisters that were saved. But for some reason these six boys just went hog wild. And he knew they were lost. And I believe he's tormented not only by the memory and that love for those brothers who are going to come and be tormented with him, but don't you know it tormented him as he still had that same love in his heart for the father, the mother, and perhaps those sisters that he knew he would be separated forever from them. I'll tell you, friend, if you die lost, you may not have anybody saved in your family. But then again, you may. Some here, you've got plenty saved in your family. And you die and go to hell. You're not only going to be tormented physically and mentally, but there will be an emotional torment in your heart as you think about Daddy and Mama and maybe some brothers and sisters that were saved, and you will never, never put your arms around their neck, never hug them, never hold their hand, never embrace them, but be separated forever. You tell me that won't torment you? There will be an emotional torment in your heart for all eternity. Now the good thing, and I close with this, is that the rich man is not the only character in the story. He's in hell, the place of torment, tormented physically, tormented mentally, tormented emotionally. But thank God the Bible said that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. You know, the whole thing of the story was this. The rich man didn't have to go to hell. Somebody else made a different choice and is comforted in heaven, the paradise of God. And what the whole thought of the story is, you don't have to come to this place of torment. He said, send Lazarus. He said, no, they got Moses and the prophets. They don't have to come here. If they'll hear Moses and the prophets, if they'll take heed to the Word of God, they can keep from coming here to be with you. You've heard Moses and the prophets this morning. And if you'll take heed, you don't have to go to this place of torment. Jesus died, paid for your sins, rose again from the dead, and is alive and will save you today. If you will come to Him in repentance and receive Christ, you don't have to be tormented in hell. You can be comforted forever like Lazarus instead. Let's stand. Heads are bowed. Piano player comes this morning. You have a choice to make. The rich man had a choice. He could have been saved. Now it's too late. You don't have to be tormented in hell. You can be saved today. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. I'm telling you, if you die lost, you reject Christ, this may be the last time God ever deals with your heart. You turn your back on God and walk out of here lost today, God is under no obligation to ever deal with you again. There's a place of torment where you will be tormented in a flame, tormented as you remember and as you think about the future, and tormented emotionally. That love for family will never die. I believe a million years you'll still have a love for Mama, Daddy, brothers, sisters that will say, it'll never die. You'll remember. But you'll be tormented over the fact it's fixed. No changing it now. You can't. It's not fixed yet. Won't you step out this morning? Come. Lord Jesus, I surrender to You today. I believe You died for me. I believe You rose again from the dead. I believe You paid for my sins. And this morning I open my heart and ask You to save me. I surrender and receive Christ today. God will save you, friend. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You can reject Him. You can say, I'll not have Him reign over me. I will not give up my sin. I will not give up what this world has to offer. You can reject Him, or you can receive Him today. God dealing with you, we're going to tarry for just another moment. If God's dealing with you, what's your choice today? What will you exchange for your soul? I guarantee you, as you are tormented in hell, you'll wish to God you could change, but it's fixed. Tormented, the torments of hell. Are you going to come this morning? Cast in your lot, lock, stock, and barrel, forsaking this world and sin, and surrendering all to Jesus today. You believe, but will you receive this morning? Or will you reject and die and go to hell? But wait just another moment. If nobody comes, we're going to dismiss. Don't miss out, friend. Don't miss out today. Let's pray. Father, we do want to thank you.